Okay, we're live.
We are live.
Fuck you, Sean. I'm on a really bad run for swearing in the first few seconds of shows lately.
Yeah, our language last time we met wasn't that great, so I think people expect some adult content.
I had a bottle of water. Fuck it.
Is this how we introduce your new sponsor? Oh, there's my bottle from my new sponsor.
There's my my self-made. Welcome, Evian sponsors. I bought an adjustable pull-up bar, right?
Yeah.
To go on the top of my rig.
So 2024 is going to be the year of your first pull-up.
Can you see the top? Does that look right to you? Right there.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like, does that not look like it's bent? No.
Yeah, a little bit. Look like it's not like this, but like this.
Yeah, I can't get it on. I was trying for like, I was turning it upside down, turning it backwards, turning it like every part. There's no way this got damaged in the in transit because it's fucking metal. So thick.
This is how you expose a rogue, also live on your podcast.
Well, I emailed them and they never emailed me back, so I tried. But yeah, I had it up. I had it like kind of balanced on it. I sent one of my friends a text and I was like, I'm pretty sure one kipping pull-up would get that into place.
Or a proper bar muscle up or something that would do that.
You're not gonna get that from me. I also got, I don't know if you can see it on there, I also got like plate storage things, you know, like little rods that stick out. I've got so much more floor space. I can actually sit like in the center now. I was never able to do that before.
The Rogue is also a sponsor of this podcast.
No, they're not.
A subtle way of doing it.
Yeah, they definitely won't be. They definitely won't be with me mocking their adjustment pull up bar, because the guy I was talking to was like, oh, if you hit it with a hammer, it would probably go on. Like, and I was like, yeah, that's great. And I would never be able to get it off. And the whole point of it is that it's adjustable and I can take it off and put it on again. But yeah, anyway. How many affiliates do you own?
So I said that the headline said 12. It's actually 11. Or if I'm going to be super strict, it's 10 and a half. We fully own 10 and we own 50% of another one. But last week we decided to buy a new one. So now we're 11 and a half. And today I actually agree with the board that we're going to buy, or we're going to buy a company, but we're going to start one from scratch. So it's actually 12 and a half or 13. So yeah, so let's say 13 sounds much more exclusive and fun than 12 and a half.
And is this like a consortium? Like, how, explain to me the I just don't understand. I don't understand how it's so many.
So it says that, like, the thumbnail says that I own 12, but I run 12 and I have a small ownership in all of them. But long story short, our main owner, he owns 85% or 80% of the entire Functional Fitness Group, which is the name of the company, the entire umbrella. And then we have seven subsidiaries that we own 100% of, or 50% of one of them. So back in 2014, 15, he came in contact with the guys running CrossFit Oslo, and they were deep in debt. And he just bought up the debt and converted it to shares. And through the guys he knew at CrossFit Oslo back then, he got to know the guys at CrossFit Sandvika. They were also in financial distress, so we also bought them. And so when I and a couple of my colleagues, Joachim Rygg and Simon Oslin, when we started working for Functional Fitness Group in 2019, we had three gyms, and they were run like really separately. And then he said that, okay, do you guys want to make this into something bigger? And we were on board and we said, yes, we want to do it. So the thing that, like, the way we've grown is that this is not the norm, or like the thing everything or the way everything works in Norway, but like a typical CrossFit box, you have four friends that wants to run a CrossFit gym. They put together maybe $20,000 each. They rent a space, they buy new equipment. Everything is all fun and games. Like the memberships are growing. The equipment is fresh. Like you have a lot of energy to put into doing community events and stuff like that. But then you come to maybe year number 3 or 4 or 5 and you see that, oh, it's not possible to take out any money. Maybe you have a girlfriend and there's a kid on the way. And like you end up in a situation where, okay, I don't have the time or energy to put my efforts into running the gym, but I have a community of 150, 200, 250 members. So you don't want to shut it down, but you don't know what to do like going forward. So I think we are at the moment, I think we are the only like professional actor in the CrossFit market in Norway, which is actually buying CrossFit gyms. So that's how we've grown. Like we've been approached from owners that they say that I need to find a partner where we can like continue to run this gym. So we have kind of created our own model on how to make that work. So that's kind of like how 80% of our growth have come from. It's like we just acquire gyms that are the owners are kind of getting tired and they see that they need to put their energy elsewhere to pay the bills and stuff like that.
And then are you managing the most of them then?
Yeah, so like I'm kind of like the CEO of Functional Fitness Group. And underneath Functional Fitness Group, we have 6 subsidiaries. So we have 6 smaller companies. And on each separate locations, we have what we call a box manager. And the box managers are running these gyms kind of like how they want it, because I want them to be motivated and feel like they're running a gym where they can do like whatever they like within kind of some boundaries. But I'm kind of like the guy on top that try to keep everything together. And I'm also the one doing kind of like the boring work, everything with financials, with the budgets and the accounting and salaries and HR and arguing with the landlords and stuff like that. So kind of like I'm doing the boring stuff and they are doing kind of like the fun stuff.
It's kind of like a silent partner, an absentee owner kind of, where you trust the person that's there to run it and then you take all the kind of heavy lifting in the back and stuff, like the administrative stuff.
Yeah, of course, they have to do some boring stuff like vacuum clean and wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning if somebody calls in sick, but like that's a part of the job. So they get to run the gyms however they want, but we have some guidelines. But I think the way to keep them motivated is for them to be allowed to have some sort of freedom to run a gym the way they see that's best for their community. Because what we've learned is that something that works in CrossFit Oslo, maybe just a 20-minute drive to CrossFit Learn or another 10-minute drive to CrossFit Lambertseter, nothing is similar. So like there's different members, different cultures and everything. So the box managers that's on site, they are the ones that knows the culture and the community. So they need to like be able to run the gym whoever they want.
How many gyms are there in Norway? How many CrossFit boxes?
I actually have no idea. I should have done a quick search, or maybe you're faster on the main site, but maybe 50, 60 or something. I'm not really sure.
God, how the fuck would I find that?
If we Google CrossFit affiliate map, let's find the gym.
Yeah, I'm looking for Norway. 46 plus.
Yeah, that sounds.
46 sounds plus. Yeah. 20, 66 plus. Yeah, but 74.
Yeah, and also in Norway, functional fitness as a sport is like slowly and steadily growing. So the gyms at the smaller cities, some of them decide not to become a CrossFit affiliate, but they just maybe use in their name, they just call it something with the box or something. So people know that it's a box, so it's CrossFit, but they can market it as CrossFit. But if you want to open a gym or a CrossFit box in Oslo or in the bigger cities, you need to be an affiliate because people Google Oslo and CrossFit, Trondheim and CrossFit. So in order to be able to compete and like market yourself as a CrossFit gym, you need to be a CrossFit affiliate. But if you go to the smaller cities, so the one we decided to open this week, it's in a small city called Sortland in the middle of Norway or a little bit north, Lofoten. They are the only ones doing this in their region. So they don't have to be a CrossFit affiliate. But as long as they do a good job with marketing on their Facebook and Instagram, people are going to know that this is functional fitness or CrossFit. But they're not allowed to use the CrossFit term.
They're not allowed to use it.
So what I'm trying to say here is that there's more than 47 gyms doing CrossFit because some are doing it as functional fitness.
Okay. What's here? Why is there like such a gap there? Is it just kind of
weird? I'm actually sitting right there in the middle of nowhere in Mosjøen. It's branded as the city in the middle of Norway. So actually in the middle of the middle. And I was actually looking at a location yesterday. So if we can make an agreement with the landlord, we're probably going to start
there'll be a little thumb here somewhere.
Yeah, so if you zoom in a little further, so I'm sitting right there. So the guys in the second form, like my girlfriend's parents are not going to be happy that I'm not able to point it out. But it's called Mosjøen. I think you have to go a little bit further in.
This is gold for the audio listeners.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, it's. Yeah, that there it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So hopefully we're going to make something happen in Mosjøen, but it's not going to show up on that map, or we're not really sure yet, because now CrossFit obviously increased their affiliate fee with 50%. So it's going to be more expensive for a startup to pay 4,500 euros. But we'll see. It's cool to be a part of the CrossFit family, but I think in a smaller cities in Norway, you don't really have to be an affiliate, because word of mouth is everything. Like, people talk and they know that it's CrossFit and they know it's functional fitness, so you don't have to pay the affiliate license.
Would you have any guilt about doing that, about opening a gym and essentially doing CrossFit, but just doing CrossFit but not CrossFit? Like, would you feel any kind of obligation or anything?
I'm not really sure. I don't know if you have any lawyers looking at this one from the CrossFit HQ, but I think in order for smaller startups in Norway to be able to start up and like to have like a proper chance of surviving, I think you need to like keep your cost to a minimum. And like adding that $5,000 on top of whatever. Now with the electricity prices in Norway are through the roof, and like paper, like inflation in the entire world is crazy. So like if there's any places you can cut some costs, I think you should do it. Maybe down the road become an affiliate if you see that this is cool. We want to take the next step. Maybe we'll do that, but. For now, I think we're not gonna do it up there.
But I suppose another way of looking at it is you've got whatever, roughly 12. So 12 times 5 grand.
Let's say 13.
Okay, so you got 13 times 5 already going in.
Yeah,
it's not like you're, you know.
We have a small contribution right there. So
Are you keeping all of those? Like, has that change in affiliate fees made you double think any of those kind of?
No, we're not going to do anything at the moment. I think because in this location we have some competitors, they are CrossFit affiliates. I think we need to be a CrossFit affiliate, and of course we want to do the open thing, so we want people to be able to sign up to our gym, represent CrossFit Oslo and CrossFit Lør and CrossFit Lambertseter, etc. So I think we're gonna like be a CrossFit gym for at least for the foreseeable future. But so we haven't really thought about it.
How did you end up working for this company, or like being put in there? How did that happen?
So in 2018, there was another guy sitting in my seat. he quit, and our head coach at the moment, Joachim Rygg, you know Joachim Rygg from
training,
Kristen Holte's partner. He, like, I took my master's in business law, tax, and accounting. So I started coaching at CrossFit Oslo back in 2014. So I've been a part of CrossFit Oslo for almost 10 years now, but only as a coach. But when this guy quit in 2018, Joachim approached me and asked me on behalf of the owner. I already knew the owner. I had had some conversation with him, but not like regarding running the business. So Joachim approached me and said that this guy is going out. Would you be willing to take his job? So with a master's degree, kind of, I was thinking to go like the traditional route where we become an accountant or become whatever, financial controller or something. But I had a talk with the owner, and he wanted to give me a lot of responsibilities, and like for me to run the entire group was kind of like a cool opportunity for me. So that's kind of how I ended up where I am now. And kind of like if I would have decided to go the mainstream route with my background, with my education, I would probably be a smaller part of an entire corporation. But now I get to like work with everything. So I'm the one signing contracts with landlords. I'm the one negotiating prices on equipment. I'm the one making the budgets. If we're doing an acquisition, I'm the one structuring the deals, making sure that we have enough money. If somebody is sick, I need to like learn how those laws work. So I'm getting a lot of kind of a broad learning platform in kind of like a safe environment, because if we mess up and one gym don't go as we as planned and we have to shut it down, it's not going to be ruining anybody. Like, it's ruining, like, people lose their gym, but it's not going to make like a big wave of negative consequences. So it's kind of like I'm getting a lot of good experience kind of on safe terms.
And those gyms that you guys, so I know that you're starting one from scratch, say, but the ones that you kind of come in and take over, do those gyms approach you, or do you approach them, or how does that work?
So it's usually somewhere in between. Now, over the last couple of years, people know that we are doing this. Now people kind of approach us. But say 2 or 3 years ago, we like had to talk with people and say that, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. We're, like, let us know if you like, if your future, something happens with your future or something. So, so it's kind of like a mix. But now people tend to approach us and ask, what kind of collaborations do we do? How can we work together? So kind of like, it's a bit of both, I guess.
And who's the guy that owns the company?
His name is Harald Otterhaug. He's a big finance guy. So he's running one of the world's top hedge funds. So he's made his money through finance, but he's also now he's in real estate, he's in logistics, he's in wine and spirits, he's in like he's doing multiple things. So his focus now has shifted from, like, he's always been a kind of like a mentor for me and somebody I can always call. But I called him about a month ago and asked him a kind of like a silly question, and he said, "I don't really have time for this now. You have to run the ship." And I can call him, but now he's kind of given me the entire responsibility to take this from 13 affiliates to maybe 20 affiliates to 25. But he's a super cool guy. He trains CrossFit at CrossFit Sandvika, so he's a part of that community. So he knows kind of like, he knows what CrossFit is, and he knows the importance of communities and good coaches. So so that's kind of like his story in short.
Because it doesn't seem like it would be very lucrative. Like, it doesn't seem like there'd be a very big return on investment. Like, you hear about so many gym owners that are struggling, and like all those ones that you're talking about, you know, I'm sure a lot of those did just get tired, but I'm sure there's also others that were like, it's not worth it. Like, it's not going the way I wanted it to, or I'm not earning the way I wanted to, or I'm not as comfortable as I thought I'd be, or whatever. Like, is it for love of CrossFit that he's doing it then instead of?
Yeah, so I actually joined him in one meeting. We were looking at one location, and he said that he's not here. Like, he actually joined the meeting because he wanted to buy the entire company that we were in the meeting with. But he told us, like, he's investing with his heart and with his passion when he's doing CrossFit. Yeah. This is not where he's going to make his money. But of course, like, if we were able to grow this, of course, there could be a lucrative exit for him as well. But that's kind of not, that's not what, what we're working for at the moment. We are working for supporting and creating good communities where members are happy, where we can create jobs for people that want to work with CrossFit. So kind of like the long-term strategy, of course, we wanted to do things good financially. So there could be an option, but kind of this is not where he he's going to make his money, most likely.
If he ever wants to sponsor a podcast.
Yeah. Shout out. Yeah.
So this time last year, you're kind of in the depths of preparation for another run at the Affiliate Cup. So you finished that off last year, and you had said, you had all said kind of during the year that, like, it was fairly well publicized that you were going to do it, and then that was it, that you were just going to do one more and then all go your separate ways or whatever. What's it like now not doing that, like not having that focus, not having the, oh, I need to get up and train, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to, like, are you finding yourself still working on that side of things the way that you were just out of habit? Are you finding yourself getting frustrated at yourself because you're not doing what you used to do, and you know, you got more energy or more, like, I don't know, the more just impatience at, like, not training the way that you were?
So I think for me, like, becoming an athlete, like I've been for the last 3 years, was kind of not something that I planned or something that I worked towards when I was a CrossFitter. Like, I started my education because I wanted to learn more about business and eventually be a part of a bigger business or grow my own business or be a part of something that I'm doing now. So for me, the things that I'm doing now is, like, giving me a lot of energy, and I'm super happy with the things I'm doing. But after our first years at the games, I had kind of like a post-game depression because I loved the entire experience, just working with the team for 8 months towards a common goal. And then we got second place, and that was just the best thing ever. Kind of like the friendships you make with the team and the coaches and everything. So kind of like at a post-game depression. And last year, last year as well, after that, when I was like, wow, if this was the last time, that's gonna suck. So kind of had another post-games depression. But this year, after the games, I was like, okay, I think I'm done, because we've had obviously 3 amazing years. We wanted to aim for the top spot this year. We didn't make it because the other teams were just better than us. But this year, I didn't have a post-games depression, because now I feel kind of like the obligation pay back to the boss, because he's given me a lot of opportunities. He said, let's go buy this, let's start that. So I want to, like, show that I'm worth the responsibility that he's given me. So now I'm kind of like, I'm happy with where I am. The only thing I'm frustrated about is that I'm getting lazy. So I gained 8 kilos maybe since the games. I haven't done a single kipping pull-up, and I'm not dared to do a bar muscle because I'm afraid that my joints are gonna crack. So, but to sum it all up, like, I'm super happy with where I am now, and I don't have any, like, feelings that, wow, I should have gone for another year, or I wish that we did another year, because, like, we knew that this was gonna be the last year, mainly because of all of the things that the other teammates are gonna do. So, kind of was a natural exit from the games. But CrossFit Oslo and Krieger are doing a lot of exciting things at CrossFit Oslo, so I still get to be a part of the entire CrossFit community and, like, the competition part of the CrossFit community. If I were to quit my job and be like working at an office in another job, I would probably miss it more and feel like, wow, I wish I was back. But now I still get to see the younger guys that are really going for it. I also get to see the new teams that are both competing in Oslo and around Norway. So I'm still a big part of the community. So I think that also makes it easier to step down and kind of more be try to help with my experience and maybe hook people up with sponsors and stuff like that. So kind of a different role, and it feels pretty good.
Comparatively to, we'll take like the elite athletes out of the equation, but comparatively, if you walk into an affiliate now, are you still like, would you still consider yourself to be one of the top like 1% in the affiliate if you went in and trained?
Not at CrossFit Oslo, but any other gym, I would be in the top 5%, I guess.
Okay. But is it weird going back there? Because you would have been in the top, like, you know, easily inside the top 5% at Oslo for the last 3 years. So it's hard walking in there and like, because it's such, I know you're saying that you have different things, different obligations, different distractions or different roles and stuff, but there still is that thing that like your identity was tied up in it for a prolonged period of time, up to the point where you had depression after it was all, you know, like you were sad every year for 2 years when it was over. Is it difficult to like extract yourself from that and just be okay at not being one of the best there and like say doing a workout beside people that are now that much better than you because they're still dedicating so much time to it and you're not anymore?
I don't think actually, no, because kind of like what I've figured out over the last couple of years that I don't need to be or want to be the best. Of course, it would have been awesome to win the games as an individual, but I don't know that that's not realistic. But my goal was not to be the best individual athlete. My goal was to be the best part of a team. So like, how can I make the gaps in my fitness or the hole in my fitness to be as small as possible and make sure that I was the best teammate that I could be. So for me, like being the best boy in the CrossFit Oslo community, I've never really like, that kind of wasn't my goal. It was my goal maybe 8 5 6 7 8 years ago, kind of when individual was the only thing we did because there wasn't a team or anything. But now the last 3 years, some of the guys at CrossFit Oslo have probably been better than me already. So my goal was always to be the best part or the best teammate for CrossFit Oslo. There's some sort of phone ringing here. I'm in the reception where my Gertrude father's work, so
Oh, like it's not your phone, it's just Apple.
I have no idea. So yeah. I thought it was a joke. To sum it up, so like it's not a problem for me, and now that I'm not kind of like one of the top dogs anymore, I can only talk trash, so I do some trash talk to make the guys feel worse, and I just scroll through my memories when I'm at the podium with Rich Froning and stuff like that, and kind of that's the statement I need to make. But for me now, it's much more fun to see other guys succeed. So now I'm just hoping that we can have a couple of other good team coming out of CrossFit Oslo. I'm also hoping that we can have some individual boys that make it to the semifinals and hopefully can climb towards the games over the next couple of years. So it's not a kind of like a problem for me to not be a top dog anymore.
What age are you?
Age?
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped counting on 19. So you're at least
21.
Yeah, I turned 19 15 times.
Have you any aspirations for masters or anything?
No. So I'm turning 35 next year. But in order not to gain too much weight and to become a diabetic, I'm going to do the master's division in functional fitness, I guess. Okay. So there's an M35 division there. So the national championship is in September and the world championship is in Budapest in I guess October or something. So that's gonna be my goal for the next season to get there. And like I don't like competing as an individual, so maybe I'm gonna drop out mid-season because I can't find the motivation to keep pushing by myself, because I know it's just gonna be me, myself, and I, rather than pushing myself to become the best teammate that I'm able to be.
It's interesting as well, because a lot of individuals who did team, or who, you know, even individuals who are asked about maybe doing team, they tend to fall back on the opposite to what you're saying, where they don't like not being in full control over the result. Like they don't like that if something goes wrong, it might not be their fault. It could be somebody else's. They'd rather just have it all rest on them. And then if they need to go faster, they can go faster. If they need to slow down, they can slow down rather than relying on other people. So it's interesting that I'm sure you were like that, as you say, 5 to 8 years ago when you were on your own, but like just all that time spent trying to help the other three people or whatever. And now it's just, you can't imagine yourself doing without them, I guess.
Yeah. But I played soccer for 20 years. So I'm used to being part of a team, succeeding together and failing together, and transitioning into CrossFit and going in with the same mindset. That wasn't kind of like it's never been a problem. I know it sucks to be the one that fails on something. And I know I didn't feel well after, for example, the first event at the games when the rope went around my leg and we got a no rep and we did an entire round was cut. We didn't make any reps. Of course, that sucked for me. But when other teammates failed, I never felt like I don't get angry or mad at them because things happen. Because I know how bad it feels when it happens to myself. And during the weekend, with both the semifinals and the games and the quarterfinals, like each and every one of us had that experience in one or two events. So everybody knows how it feels. So once you've experienced it yourself, you know that you can't get mad if it happens with one of the teammates. So, but I think
as Barclay explains here, for many of those 20 years playing football, you were 19 by your own math. And that's coming from the statistics department at Be Friendly Fitness. So, you know, that the maths is sound on that.
Yeah. I didn't quite get to read that comment because,
he said, and he was 19 years old for many of those 20 years playing football. when you were going to the games this year, like most recently, there was like more pressure, I'm guessing, just from how much you guys are talked about compared to other years, there was more pressure on you this year than any other year, like in 2023, because it had gone from, I guess, maybe in 2021, for the outsiders looking in, I suppose, I'm sure you guys knew it was coming, but for everybody else, it was like, who the fuck are these guys in 2021? 2022 was like, well, they're not going to do it again. Oh, fuck, they did.
Yeah.
And then 2023 was like, well, now the path is clear for them to they just need to make one more step up. Whereas it's a different kind of pressure. It's not the pressure to change people's minds or the pressure to surprise people or the pressure to, you know, just do your own best or whatever. Now it was the pressure to you're the champions in waiting. And like, oh, are you going to be able to see off Invictus? Are you going to be able to see off Proven, etc.? That was kind of the conversation. Did that change your enjoyment of it? Did that pressure change the experience for you this year compared to other years?
Yeah, so I definitely felt more pressure. I think our team also felt more pressure because we were doing podcasts and we got articles and we also teamed up with Sin agencies. So they were selling our stories that these guys are going there to win. So we got a lot of new sponsors on board. So we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, like mainly by partnering up with Sin Agency. We got access to talking to you and talking to other podcasts and got in touch with sponsors. So we kind of like, we chose to do that. And based on that, we also added a lot of pressure to our shoulders. But combined with this or alongside this, we also saw a lot of other super teams being formed. Like Invictus came back. Everybody knew that they were going to be one of the top teams. And Proven got a team, and Mayhem had a couple of teams, and there was like there were super team popping up all over. So I think since that happened, I think that kind of took the pressure a little bit off our shoulders because there were a lot of new teams, some good teams returning and a lot of new teams popping up. So I think that also took the pressure kind of off our shoulders. And I'm not on social media. Of course, I browse to Instagram every once in a while, but I'm not on Instagram, so I don't get kind of I don't get the kind of the feeling of how much pressure or hype that is on us. I browse maybe every once in a week or every second week, just borrow my girlfriend's Instagram and just see what people are saying.
You just search your name.
Yeah. So kind of like I get a feel every once in a while, but I knew especially when I spoke with my teammates and they said that there's not that much hype around us. Of course, when we join a podcast and we say that we aim for the top spot, that doesn't mean that the entire world hears it. But we are saying to ourselves that means that we add pressure to ourselves. And when we are on three or four podcasts and we talk with the local guys in Norway and we say that we're going there to win, we add some pressure. But I don't think the entire CrossFit community have seen those statements and are kind of like updated on what we are telling the world. So, but definitely more pressure, mainly because we did what we did and we said what we said. And I think it was also good for us to just set the bar high and aim and just do whatever we could to get there. And I'm not just going to say we failed. Third place is amazing. And being at the podium 3 years in a row is also amazing. So, of course, first is first. But yeah, we're happy with the third in the end as well.
How many teams were there from Oz? Was there like 11 teams or something at semifinals last year in Europe?
I think there was 11 teams at the quarterfinals.
Okay.
No, it was 8 teams from CrossFit Oslo. And 7 teams went to the semifinal. So it was only one team that fell out of the quarterfinal mix from CrossFit Oslo. That was Alexander Lekka and the guys Benjamin Bola. I'm just name dropping them because then they're going to hear this. I'm just one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, did the rest of you just stop talking to them then afterwards?
Yeah, like...
They had to train outside.
Yeah. In Norway, we have like a Christmas song like every Sunday leading up to Christmas Eve. Like you light one candle. And on that Sunday, when we saw that they didn't qualify, we just lit a candle for them and we sang a song. I sent it on Snapchat and I got the reply was not warm welcomed.
Was it like, how did it work for those teams? So 7 teams, was there 7 coaches in charge of each team? How did it work in Berlin, say, for, I guess, were you guys kind of at the stage where you just looked after yourselves, like say you four?
No, so we had one head coach. Okay. We had Joachim Rygg. He was our head coach. So all of the teams had maybe one person that looked out for them. But some of the teams were just by themselves. But kind of we are all in a big group. And Joachim, Rygg, Simon Oslund as well, they were there and talking to all of the teams and kind of gave them some tips and tricks and stuff like that. So those two coaches played a big role for everybody. But we knew that we had one main coach and he was going to put all of his focus on us. But when he had 5 minutes here and there, he would just run over to them and give them some tips and tricks for the different workouts.
Hmm. Maybe I remember it wrong. Did you guys have a slow start in Berlin?
Yeah. Nico was not feeling good. His back was smashed. He had a flu. He had a fever. So event number one. Of course, when we tried the workouts before we went to Berlin, like you can start the clock whenever you want, and you can drink whatever you want, and you can do whatever, and just start when you're ready. So, but the times we did in practice, they were kind of like the top three in the world. So we knew that going into day one and event number one, we were ready to smash it. But then we ended up getting 11th or something, so mm-hmm. we were not happy. But Nico's back after 5 minutes; he was just gone. So his back has been bothering him all season. So we had a slow start in event number two as well. I've had a partial tear in one of my quads and in my glutes. So the thrusters on event number one also kind of messed with my performance. So day one, we had two really bad performances compared to the ones, the tests we did back home.
Back home, yeah.
Yeah. But we had a good day two and good day three, so we were able to climb. So that was kind of like a new experience for us to be outside of top 10 and outside looking in. So that was kind of like a cool experience. Of course, not that fun that night when we had tacos in the apartment in Berlin, but we were hungry going into day number two and ready to climb.
Yeah. Like in hindsight, it's great. At the time, I'm sure it was like
like Sesko and James from Sin Agency, they said that this just makes the story much better.
Yeah,
kind of like people saw on the field that we were supporting each other when Nico kind of failed with his back on event number one. We didn't like we backed him and we knew that he was in pain and like he was suffering from the first minute, so we knew that something was wrong. So kind of like we got to show that we had each other's back, whatever happens.
And is there any was there any moment there during the first couple of events or the first day or so where like did panic ever set in of like, fuck, his back is sore, my leg is fucked, what's the chances of us actually being able to climb back up to where we need to go? Especially as you say, when you had done these interviews and there had been these articles and stuff written about like, all right, they're going to really go for it this year. Like, it would have really just been a bit humiliating, circumstances aside, to do all that for the year and then not make it beyond semifinals.
Yeah, so we were pretty comfortable that we were going to make top 10 because the top 10 team went to the games. Yeah. So after day one, I think we were in 11th or maybe in 8th. I can't really remember. So we were pretty confident that we were going to go to the games, like whatever happened. But of course, with all the hype, and this was the first time that we were going to go head to head with the Danish team. So kind of seeing the Danish team struggle, no, not struggling, but celebrating, getting first place. That kind of was more fuel to the fire for us to go to the US and show who's the best team in Europe. So kind of no panic, but of course we wanted to come there and really, really perform and maybe to send a signal to the US teams that we were ready to compete again this year. But we were kind of always comfortable that we were going to make it. But so said that Lena and Ingrid, they quit their jobs to fully focus on CrossFit. So of course for us to place top three, that would give us more prize money, more support from the sponsors and stuff like that. So we felt kind of like an obligation to our sponsors to perform. So that was all kind of like a downturn for us not to perform, to give back to the sponsors as well. So, but in the end, going to the games was the most important, and we placed second at the semifinals in the end. But yeah, kind of we were comfortable that we were going to get there anyway.
Hmm. Steven's asking if you'd go on a real podcast after doing this one. Although you spelled podcast wrong, Steven, that's actually pretty embarrassing for you. I've actually given Savan Ivan's number, and I think Savan's definitely interested in talking to you. So yeah, thanks for the $2 backhanded insult compliment thing there, Steven. That's great.
I spoke with Savan for 10 seconds before we went on the floor. I'm not sure if he was doing some sort of behind the scenes with the Invictus guys, and whenever there's a camera there, I just try to get my face in there and talk some trash. So I actually got
any screen time is positive.
So I think I got to trash talk Jorge Fernandez on the Invictus team on the behind the scenes stuff. So I met him, and hopefully he's gonna put my face in there because I need some airtime, some screen time now that I'm retired. So whatever I can say, but I would be happy to talk with anybody. And like I spoke with Seska as well, it would be cool for me to be able to put Norway on the map and to get the things that are going on in Norway more publicity, because there's a lot of fun things going on in Norway with the community is growing and CrossFit is growing and a lot of teams are popping up. So yeah,
can you see that, because I know that the functional fitness is kind of CrossFit is included in that umbrella now, right, in the kind of grants and like the professional thing in Norway, is that right?
Yes. So in Norway, if you compete in CrossFit, you also compete in functional fitness, because like if you are we can say sports in general, there's a lot of traditions for sports in general in Norway. So functional fitness, the IF3 stuff, functional fitness in Norway is a part of kind of like the government financed sport federation. I don't know how to say it in English, but that means
that's about right.
Yeah. So that means that you get funding. So that means you can have a national team. You actually get some money from the top to have a national team. You can go on trips, you can pay a coach, you can have like these weekends where you have training camps and stuff like that. So that means that the best athletes in CrossFit are also going to be on the national team. And you can get scholarships and stuff like that, or it's easier to get scholarships and sponsors when you're also on that team. So that's kind of why CrossFit and functional fitness has grown together in Norway rather than being competitors.
So say if you're a CrossFit athlete and you don't do IF3, you can't you don't fall in under the, you have to, if you're a good CrossFit athlete, it stands to reason that you would be good at IF3. So it's the logical choice for you to do while competing at CrossFit and wanting to do well at CrossFit is to parallel to that also do IF3 so that you are eligible for match and stuff.
So I think, I don't know like exactly how they're doing it, but in functional fitness, we have the open for functional fitness. That's now in January.
Okay.
And based on that, you move on to the national championship and stuff like that. So they have kind of like their own calendar with their own competitions on how to crown the best and how to get on the national team. But of course, the coaches and the guys in charge, they also look at the ones that are performing in CrossFit.
Yeah.
But say, because
I know Matilda's very successful at both, say.
Yeah.
But if she suddenly stopped doing... If she was asked, like, hey, do you want to do IF3? And she just said, no. Would she then lose all of her eligibility for being able to pay coaches and that kind of stuff from government money? Would she have to just solely rely on sponsor income and stuff and prize money from CrossFit then? Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so the individual athletes are not getting any scholarships from the federation. So okay. It's the national teams. The national team is the... It's kind of
oh,
like,
I follow. Okay, okay.
The kind of like the organization or the branch that gets yeah. funded.
So the team that Matilda is on, they are able to pay because they have not her herself. Yeah. Because
but they're not okay. They're not able to pay her and professional life. But they are able to pay for an Airbnb in another country and pay for the food and pay for the cars to go there. But they're not... kind of paying a salary. So being on the national team is not making it easier for them to live from day to day because they don't get any income, but of course it makes them more attractive for sponsors. So kind of like the side effects of being on the national team is obviously positive, but it's not like, okay, you're on the national team, here's some monthly cash.
Can you see that spreading? Like, can you see that? Is that all over Scandinavia? Is it particularly big in Norway? Is it all over Scandinavia?
So I can only talk for Norway because I don't know how things are done in Sweden and Denmark, but this is how things are done in Norway.
IF3 itself, like involvement, like do you know as popular in other countries? Because I've heard a lot of talk about Norway, because I know Norway have won a lot of, like they won in Argentina,
I think... since day one, when the first world championship was, I think Norway's won all of them. So I think the first one was in 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
So Norway's won all of the years on the team side, not on the individual side.
Matilda was on a month ago or so, was it?
Hmm?
Was it on like about a month ago? Is that the same thing? Yeah.
Yeah, in the end of the November. So Norway won the team.
We were fourth and Spain were somewhere around as well, I think, were they? I don't remember.
Norway.
I think I saw a couple of JSC athletes were there for the UK, so I'm assuming there was a UK team.
So
it's interesting. It's an interesting way of, as you say, like they don't earn, but people can earn from it, and then it makes it easier for them to do with it. As in, like the coaches, if the coaches are getting paid, it makes it easier for them to, you know, invest more time and stuff in CrossFit coaching then as well, I guess.
Yeah. And also kind of the top athletes in Norway, they want to show the support to the sport because the functional fitness sport is based on volunteer work. And the athletes also know the guys on top and they want to kind of support them and support the job and the work they're doing. So they feel kind of obligated to also do the functional fitness track combined with CrossFit. But kind of like the big issue with functional fitness and CrossFit is that when the CrossFit game season ends, then the functional fitness season starts. So the CrossFit Games is in August and in September, the national championship is. And if you qualify for the world championship, that means you're going to have to train to compete in the end of November. So kind of you don't get a proper off season to recover. And, you know, when December comes, you can take a couple of weeks off, but then come January, you need to start working out for or train for the Open as well. And if you want to do Dubai and Rogue and Waterpalooza in between, like there's no proper off season. So people want to do functional fitness, but the timing is not that good because people need to rest. So people kind of like do 18 months of competing and training. So you don't get a proper off season, and that's not sustainable for the long term.
Yeah. I mean, doing both, regardless of when it is, really, there's no real good time for it to be because you've got there's like just stuff on all the time. Like if you're not eating into the off season and other competitions, then you're eating into semi-finals prep or games prep or whatever. Like the only time they could really have national championships and the world championships would be like February, March, and just hope that they don't get injured during the open, basically.
Yeah, definitely. So that's kind of like the issue and the thing with the top, especially on the female side in Norway, they are not all the way in like kind of like the top 10 in CrossFit just yet. So they have to kind of do the smaller competition on the outside of the main season. So they need to go to Rogue, they need to go to Dubai, they need to do the kind of like the, I'm not gonna say that Rogue is a smaller competition, but they need to do this kind of off-season competition as well, because that's where they have a really good chance of doing well. And Andrea Solberg just went to Dubai and I think she got second place, which is amazing, and that's so great for her because she's worked her ass off for 10 years. So but for her that means that she had to train like crazy until all the way up until Dubai, and now she can maybe can have a month off season, and then she needs to train again for the next CrossFit game season. So it's kind of challenging for the ones that are not top CrossFit games athlete just yet and still want to work or not work but work towards being a full-time athlete.
Who did you or what level of football did you play
Second highest division, but the
in
thing is
Norway?
that, so I was just a kid, so I was 18, 19, had some injuries, like 90% of the guys that quit football or soccer when they were younger had an injury and they just moved on. But I was the water boy and I was sitting all the way out to the right on the bench for 2 years, the second highest level in Norway. And my monthly paycheck was $300 before taxes, and I was taxed 50%, so $150 a month to play football. That was the good old days.
That's pretty fucking excessive tax. I thought if you're surely you're under a certain threshold there where they're like, just don't worry about it. It's
Yeah,
fine.
but I text that much because I know that I was going to get it back the next summer.
Yeah, Barclays listed your ages from the seasons that you did. So you're 18 in the first year, then you were 19, 19 again, 19 again, 19
And the thing is, like
again.
in 2022, you can ad identify as whatever you want. So I'm just gonna identify as a 17-year-old boy with a gray beard. So yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at.
The silver fox look is in, so you can just say that you're dying it for effect.
You know, back in if you go back to the 2021 podium ceremony, you can see that when we were on the podium and Pat Wellner was called up, he ran past me and then he turned back and he said, "I love your beard, man." And then he ran. So that's kind of like that's why I kept it. I'm never gonna shave it off.
And he was mocking you as well, so it makes it
Yeah,
even worse.
yeah.
It was sarcasm,
Shout out to Pat Wellner.
So did you stop playing football because of injuries then?
Yeah, I think kind of did. Like when you're young, and I'm gonna say that I was a talent, but when you're young and talented, you should be patient for a year or two or three or four or five and just keep on struggling. But kind of I was when I was injured, my coaches, they didn't call me, they didn't give me any feedback, any tips and tricks. They like they just let me be injured and say that whenever you're recovered, just come back. So no support and stuff like that. So I was kind of I'm not sick of football, but I was sick of my coaches. So I was like, I'm not gonna go back and be coached by those guys because I was 19. I was living by myself. I'm not gonna make this kind of like a sad story, but I kind of like there was nobody there to support me. My father has always been supporting, but he knew that he wanted me to take an education. So when I got injured, he was like, of course he was supporting me, and then he wanted me to come back. But they were kind of like there was no support from a physiotherapist or from the coaches or anything. They just let me do whatever, like no follow up. So when I kind of recovered by the end of the season, I was like, I'm done. And then I moved from all the way up north. I'm actually from the North Pole and moved down to Oslo and started my education. But actually, like some of the other guys, of course, they were patient and they've like become great footballers, the guys that I play with. So like, if I was patient, who knows? But I kind of, yeah, quit because of I didn't have any confidence in my coaches.
What kind of injuries did you have?
So the thing is, like, we did a proper preseason, so trained real good in January, February, and March. But then I got an infection in my lungs, so I had to wear a face mask, kind of like a COVID face mask, for 4 weeks. I was not able to, or I was not allowed to breathe in cold air for 4 weeks because my lungs were infected. So all of my training for the last three or four months just went away. And from that, when I came back, I had to chase the other guys to get fit enough to be in the starting lineup. And that also led to kind of like, I don't know the kind of like the proper English word, but
like niggles, like small little injuries. And
Yeah. So I got overloaded. So my joints were overloaded and my back hurt and stuff like that. So I was always chasing up to get better and better. And once I got kind of like to a certain level, I was not allowed to play games for the second team because I had to be fit and be on the bench for the first team. So I was kind of like in somewhere in between where I was not allowed to play a lot of games for the second team, but I had to travel all around Norway with the first team every weekend. So I was kind of like in the limbo. I was training just as much as everybody else and maybe a little bit extra to get back into shape, but I was not able to or not allowed to play games. So that kind of like just sucked the entire energy out of me and made it easy for me to just say bye-bye to football.
So you actually would have been better off being a small bit worse.
Yeah.
If you were a small bit shitter at football, it would have been better for you in the long term. What's the league called in Norway? What's the name of the league? It's four letters, is it? Or am I thinking of something else?
In soccer or football?
Yeah, in football, yeah. I know. What's Holland is like the Eredivisie, isn't it?
Holland. No, he's in Premier League.
And what have you got then?
So it's called I think they switch sponsors every year. So it's now it's something called Tippeligaen. Tipping, that means betting. So it's funded by like the government betting organization.
But if you gamble on football, no, you're not gambling on football. We'll have a gambling company sponsor the football league. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's funny. So you finished football, and did you like walk straight into? I feel like there's going to be a jarring fucking chasm between this comparison. How good was Ivan compared to Erling Haaland? I'm assuming that's like comparing a.
Yeah. So say that Sivan, I am Sivan, and Erling Haaland is Rich Froning. Okay. So if Sivan went head to head with Rich Froning on maybe Fantasy Land, I think that would be kind of like the proper comparison.
Okay. That probably sounds fair. Yeah. Did you, when you finished football, did you walk straight into a CrossFit gym, or how did that?
No, so I when I was injured, I started lifting weights, just like a gym rat, just being big and bulky. So I did that for 3 years, and then a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to join him and do 50-50 at a regular gym. We just found a corner and we did 50-50, first time doing a wall ball, first time doing a burpee. So that was back in 2012. So I quit football in 2019. I did 3 years of just regular bodybuilding, just chest day on Monday and biceps and back on the Tuesday. I did that for 3 years and I just felt like shit and like I was just big and heavy. And then started doing CrossFit in 2012. But I was like, I'm never going to do kipping pull-up. I'm just going to train CrossFit, but I'm going to do CrossFit chest on Monday. I'm going to do CrossFit back on Tuesday. And then after 6 months, I was like, this is no fun. I got to start doing classes, getting some coach feedback and getting exposed to new exercises. So, but like back in 2012, nobody was competing. Like there was, I think it was one competition in Europe and one competition in Norway, I guess. So nobody was training towards competing. But for the first 3 or 4 years. I just did the workout of the day and went home, and I was happy with that. And then I started competing just a little bit. Sorry. Started competing just a little bit in 2015, 2016, 2017. So what I did wrong back then was we had something called advanced class, but CrossFit Oslo. So Monday we did snatches, but we were young and we were dumb. So when it was snatches, we worked up to 1 RM snatch. Tuesday was clean, so we did 1 RM clean and jerk. Wednesday we had the deadlifts and back squats. It was 1 RM, so that ended up injuring me. So actually, kind of like I actually competed at a pretty high level in back in 2016 with some of the OGs in Norway. You might not have heard of them, but Erik Dokkahaug and Espen Hellesøy, those guys. We were actually in London doing the athlete games.
Okay.
So I competed against some of the top dogs in Europe back in 2016. But due to us PRing every Monday and every Tuesday, every Wednesday, my shoulders were smashed. So I kind of like retired back in 2016. And I just didn't train CrossFit. I went back to the global gym and did CrossFit every once in a while. And then, of course, I transitioned a little bit back to CrossFit. But then Joachim Ryg approached me back in 2019, or was it 2020, and said that it would be fun to put together a team and try to get to the CrossFit Games. So I kind of like came back from retirement and came back from the global gym and started doing CrossFit again. And then, the rest is history. Found a good team and had 3 amazing years. So I kind of like, I did the CrossFit thing with the individual competing and had some individual ambitions back in 2015, 16. And then, from there, just actually retired and came back.
And now you're retired.
Yeah, now I'm retired. So I'm actually going to be on the roster for my girlfriend's team. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that that the guys are not going to get injured, because that means I'm going to step it up again.
And what is she competing this year for? Yeah. Oslo?
Yeah. So she was.
Did she compete last year?
Yeah, she was at the games with her team, CrossFit Oslo Blackout.
Okay.
Now she's on a new team. The same female athlete, but 2 new boys.
Okay. Is that because you felt intimidated by the other two? So you're like, you need to get rid of those two.
Yeah. I need to be in the mix just so I know what's going on.
Yeah. And what was that like being at the games? Did you just like not talk to her for 4 days or whatever in August?
No,
like
we lived at the same hotel. So we tried to have lunch together and dinner together. But like we were there as a group, like the entire Norwegian squad. So at the games, between the events, we were kind of in our corner with 3 or 4 Norwegian teams, and the Swedish guys were there. So we saw each other every day and every time. So between events and before events, and they were always in the heat before us. So they kind of like, when they warmed up, we were resting. And when we warmed up, they were on the field. When we were at the field, they were kind of cooling down. So we kind of like, we didn't see each other that much, but there were some breaks in between where we could see each other.
What about now this year? Have you like mentally prepared yourself for the fact that she'll be still fully heavily focused on going to the games and all that kind of stuff, and you're like not in that at all?
Yeah, that's not going to be a problem. So I'm going to try my best to be her number one supporter and maybe help her with some sponsors and make sure that she can have a good season. And I also, she actually moved from Trondheim to Oslo. That's a 1-hour flight back in January. So I actually hired her at our gym. So kind of like set the table for her to be both working and have a decent income, but also being able to combine that with CrossFit. So kind of like I'm helping her to make sure that she can almost live as a full-time athlete, but also have a decent income on the side. So it means that she's not kind of sacrificing that much.
Mm. So nepotism is alive and well.
Yeah.
It's one of the first. This is what it's all been leading to. This whole thing of like taking over these affiliates, like starting that job. It's all just been to support her.
That's the first thing my brother said to me. He was like, oh, she's moving to Oslo. What's she going to do? Ah, she's going to work at my gym. And he's like, okay, yeah, nepotism.
all the pieces line up.
First of all, I had to Google that expression first because I was like, haha, I know what you mean, but I had no idea. But then I Google it and I find out, and he was like, yeah, you're spot on.
So your own plans then, so supporting her, and then do you think that the company that you're with, do you think, is that always going to be Norwegian centric? Like, is there any kind of plans to expand that growth outside of Norway?
Yeah, we'll see. So kind of like the things that I've learned is that there's certain kind of like boxes you need to check off before we acquire a gym. But like we have now 13 gyms. All of them are kind of, they're like complete unique. So the things we do on location A is not going to work on location B. The thing we do on B is not going to work on C. So it's kind of like some things we can copy paste, and we like the kind of what we learn from the smaller gyms, we can also apply at other smaller gyms. But since things are so unique and like the people you work with, say that, for example, in the West Coast, we have a small gym. We have a box manager called Freben. Like, he's doing a 24/7 job, but we pay him for 2 hours, 2 hours a day. So that gym works because he is so passionate about running that gym. But you can have another location where the box manager is counting every hour he's doing. When he's done with his 2 hours, he's like, I'm done. Mm. So if you can find passionate people that are not doing it for the money, but doing it for the passion, it's kind of easy to run across a gym. But if you gotta like count all of the hours and demand to get paid, but all of the small things that you do when you have to write an email at night or grab a phone call at night, or when you have to wake up at 5 a.m. and cover a class, like if you count all the hours and like say that I'm gonna get paid for every single thing I do, it's challenging to run a profitable CrossFit gym. So it's kind of like to get those. To identify and be able to attract those people that are not doing it for the money. Of course, we try to do things so they can make a lot of money, but it's always up to themselves because we try to keep the fixed costs down, and they have to do PTs, they have to do classes and stuff like that in order to really make a salary. So if we identify the proper people and like around the world, we could do it this whatever, but kind of like it's not just here's the location, we need to hire five guys, those five guys are going to do exactly what we do or what we wanted to do, and then just go for it. We need to kind of like find that one guy or one girl on that particular location to do, or that is passionate about CrossFit. So the answer is no and yes. We can grow, but we need to find good people. If we find good people, we can scale this.
Do you feel, so you've been doing CrossFit since more or less since it started, I guess, like definitely since it was starting in Europe, I suppose. Do you feel positive about the direction that CrossFit is going in? Like, do you pay attention to that kind of stuff?
I don't really pay attention outside Norway. I just see what's going on in Norway, and I see that more people are getting into the sport, and more people getting into CrossFit, more people getting into functional fitness, and as long as it's growing in Norway, I don't really care what's going on all around the world. Of course, I saw Team Richie and the vlog he had regarding the searches for CrossFit is going down, and the followers the top athletes have now compared to previous years and stuff like that, kind of like saying that the trend is going down. But in Norway, there's no sign of things slowing down. And I think that's also because of functional fitness is also helping CrossFit grow and to have more people get exposed to CrossFit and getting into CrossFit. So as long as things are going well in Norway, I don't really pay attention to the rest of the world. But that's kind of my approach at the moment.
Mm. Well, thank you for coming on. It's great to get to catch up with you.
Yeah, you too.
And good luck with your whatever world domination in Norway to start and beyond there then, I suppose. And good luck to your girlfriend as well.
Thanks. And hopefully I'll see you at the games. I'm going to be over there with the team, with my girlfriend's team, and hopefully with a couple of other both individuals and other teams from Oslo. So cool. I'll be hanging around, and I just need to find a way to shine just outside of the competition floor.
Just stand and like stroke your beard and Valner.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking about just printing a T-shirt with me and Rich Froning, so people
crop everyone else out. So his other three teammates and your three teammates, and it's just you and him on a podium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's or like you know what my number one thing is when people say that you're not relevant anymore. I just put on my iPhone and I just go to my I'll almost show you my code 00000. I just go to my inbox and I just search and I write Rich Froning, and it just said Rich Froning Jr. pre-camp. Rich Froning. So that's kind of like I've emailed with Rich Froning, and that means I'm going to be relevant for the next 10 to 15 years. So that's kind of like if people ask, what are you doing now? Are you competing or what's up with you? Or I'm just, this is what's up.
So you're going to, in whatever, 40 years time, be in a home somewhere saying, well, Rich Froning emailed me 42 years ago, so I'm still relevant. I've still got my relevancy.
If I go to the games next year with the team and I bump into Roman Krennikov and he's like, who are you? And I'm just gonna say, you know who I am. I'm just gonna
So what will happen if you bump into him, his translator will just misquote him anyway, so he won't understand what he's saying, so it's fine. I'm gonna get in trouble for that one. Thank you.